All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks are doing local podcasts. Good morning. May 4th, 2025. May the 4th be with you. Dun, 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 dun. If you're a Star Wars fan, always a Star Wars fan. Actually, I was lucky enough to see Star Wars in the theater when I was a kid. Very cool. Blew my mind. Come a long way since then. I hope everyone's having a great day. It is Sunday. It is raining here, and I hope it's raining wherever you're at. We could always use some rain. Not too much. We don't want any problems. But it is a nice shower this morning. I still got up this morning. Went for my walk. We have family in town. Went to an Italian restaurant last night. Kept it cool with the meal, but they insisted on buying a bunch of cookies and stuff, and unfortunately I had a bad night. Bad night with the cookies. So I got up this morning and went for a walk and tried to run a little and did some squats and all that stuff. So I feel pretty good. No, not a lot, not too much shame and guilt this morning. But yeah, I got to learn to say no to some of this stuff. But yeah, everything is going great. I just thought I'd come up and sit down. I want to try to be consistent, pump these podcasts out, have fun, chat about cool stuff. Like I said, we have family in town. From Connecticut, and so we went up yesterday to go see my father. They always enjoy seeing him, or at least they say they do. They're kind enough to go up and see my dad. We had a great time, sat outside, got to catch up with him. I know he appreciated it. I talked to him last night, and he was like, yeah, thanks for coming up. I appreciate it. I like seeing everybody, so it was really cool. I'm grateful for them for taking time out of their day to go up and see my dad, and yeah, but it was a busy day, man. Anytime family's in town, it just throws the whole schedule out of whack. It is definitely something to be careful of. You know, as a person in recovery, I get into my routines, and, you know, sometimes people coming in town and screwing it all up sometimes can make me a little funky. I felt a little funky yesterday, you know, but it was good. It's nice to get thrown out of the schedule a little bit every once in a while, and but they're down for the weekend. I love these folks so much. They've done so much for us, and just so grateful for them and to be part of their lives. And so yeah, it's fun. They're still here. They're coming. They'll be around today, and I think they're taking my daughter out to go do some stuff. So that sort of gets me off the hook. Get to hang out and relax a little bit. We're gonna cook dinner tonight, so we went and got some stuff for dinner, and you know, whip them up some of that fresh cow. And enjoy that. So, yeah, everything is fantastic. Just wanted to see if I can come up and maybe, you know, chat about some stuff.
Best damn day I got in my life.
wonderful day. What a wonderful day it is. What a great band. Great album. 34th and 8. I remember being down at Bethany Beach at a surf shop, hanging out with some friends, shopping and walking around the town. Walked into that store and OAR was playing on the radio. I'm like, who is this? And I had never heard them. Big college presence, I guess, but at that time I had never heard of them. So awesome band, OAR. But yeah, wonderful day. Every day sobriety is a wonderful day, right? So I thought I'd, you know, I said it in the other podcast. I like this ChatGPT. I'm not a big, you know, there's a big hustle on artificial intelligence and all these wonderful things. And I feel bad because I really have no need for it, right? I've made some cool pictures and some this and that. And I play a game called Star Citizen, and I'll use it, ChatGPT, to help me with that. It's actually very cool. I don't find it great for using to make things, but I do find it helpful for learning about things. And so I asked it this morning. I said, hey, I'm going to do a podcast. I need 3 topics on recovery. And it gave me some cool ideas. Number one, how to stay sober when life is good. That's a great topic. And in parentheses, not just bad. Number 2, recovery and relationships, learning to show up. 3, beyond sobriety, building a life worth staying clean for. And really all great topics. And I'm going to go with the first one, how to stay sober when life is good. I do, I think that is a challenge. You know, I've shared before, man, when I came into this program, my life was a disaster. It didn't appear that way on the outside, or it didn't appear that way to me, because I had slowly, one day at a time, just like we get sober, just like we recover, just like we find serenity, one day at a time, I had become I'm not going to say, you know, just not a good person, piece of garbage, but I'd become used to it. I had, the people around me had become used to it, and I had given up hope. And I thought that this was just going to be how it was going to be, one day at a time, holding on, waiting for the next big shoe to drop. And I tell you what, man, the day I got sober, it was like taking a quick off ramp and just in shock, right? This isn't something I had struggled with and worked hard at and tried and gotten a few days and a week and a month and just couldn't seem to get it. I went from a drinking fool to being sober. And immediately my life got better. But, you know, it's hard to understand when you didn't realize that that's what you were going to do. And my life did get better. It got better immediately. And, you know, I've shared so many times, and I'm sure everybody has the same sort of story. You know, if we put down the vodka and the booze and the drugs, life just gets better. And it got better. And I shared in the other podcast, you know, I went to school and I did all the things that I wasn't supposed to. And the reality is, it's not that I wasn't supposed to do these things. It's just, and now, you know, over time in recovery and learning about this thing or these things, I've realized that, you know, the motivation behind doing these big things was confused, right? Because like I said, you know, I had struggled for so long, I just wanted to be better, right? And whatever that, and unfortunately, that's still serving self, right? But I, no clue, right? And so going to school, right? It wasn't about, I don't know. You know, it's hard to say, because at the time I felt like my intentions were good. And I think my intentions were good. It's just I don't really know what it is that I really wanted to do. And it was really, the reason I know that it was kind of screwed up, because the choice that I made, which is to go to school for turf management, was just happens to be the job I was doing. And I shared the other day, you know, there was a guy, my boss, who I really was impressed with and I really wanted to be like. And so it's not that I really wanted the education. I just wanted to be a good guy. And, you know, I don't regret going to school, but it was definitely, you know, it wasn't going to be the thing that I, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years later realized this isn't really what I like to do. I'm not sure why I did it, but, you know, so just jumping into big decisions early on in recovery, you know, it's it, the reasoning is because we just don't know. I just didn't know who I was and what I wanted to be. And but I couldn't listen. Right. I was just so ecstatic about being sober and being free from whatever it is that stopped me from, because I, you know, I had gone, you know, obviously I went to middle school and then high school was where the real struggle started. And then, you know, the battle between trying to find a job, trying to keep long hair, trying to stay in my parents' house, trying to keep the heat off me, you know, this constant struggle of trying to find a job and finishing school. And then, you know, my mom would be like, you know, you need to, you know, go to community college. And so I remember I went and took art and I just didn't like it. And I was only doing it to get the heat off of me. And so it would be a series of these community colleges and failing and not showing up and then having the conversation that I kept skipping school again. And they're like, why? Why did you even waste our time? Why did you waste our money? And I'm like, I don't know, right? I don't know. And I do know now. It's because I just wanted to avoid the obvious, which was I had a real issue and I didn't want to address it. You know, I, you know, as a person that sits here today as a recovering alcoholic, but there was a big portion of my life, the drinking and the drugging. You know, I, like I've said before, I didn't become an alcoholic until I came into AA. You know, up until then, I just partied, right? You know, I could look back and say, oh, I was an alcoholic back in those days, but not really. You know, I drank, you know, after five with my friends. We, on Friday, Saturday nights, we went on weekends. We drank a lot, right? Shit happened. Bad things ended up happening, but, you know, it's just sort of the way it went. My alcoholism didn't really kick in until I moved to Delaware. And that was only because I was just replacing a lot of other illegal things that had continuously gotten me into trouble. So my pea brain decided that drinking was going to be the thing that I could do because it was legal. And I didn't have to worry about buying it. But that is when I really, you know, because I had moved to Delaware, I had nobody in my life, and I just sat in my house and drank by myself. And that is really when the alcoholism kicked in. But, you know, there was a meeting I went to the other day, and this guy was, you know, sharing his story. And I'm like, you know, we're an alcoholic and, you know, the stories are bad and, you know, we feel bad and it's terrible and, you know, we're alcoholics, but then we put the drink down and what does that leave us, right? Still an alcoholic, right? But really the issues that I've said is, you know, I just made bad choices. I was making bad choices, self-centered choices for a very long time. And before I would have even considered myself labeled as an alcoholic. And I don't drink today. But, you know, the problems that I have today are really just bad choices. And luckily over time I've learned, and hopefully we can minimize it and stuff. But the fact is, it's just, it's, you know, it's hard to figure out which umbrella to get under, right? So it says how to stay sober when life is good, not just bad, right? The overlooked challenge of maintaining recovery during peaceful, stable times. And I think that's why it's important that I, you know, work these steps, right? Because the steps allow me to see the real problems that I have today, the character defects, right? The self-centered side of me, the spiritual imbalance. And, you know, when life gets good, it gets real good real quick, and it's real easy to start to forget what got us here or what got me here. And, you know, when I first came in, luckily I'd gotten a sponsor. Luckily, and I didn't even ask for a sponsor. You know, Ron M. told me, hey, I'm going to be your temporary sponsor. And I was like, okay, that felt good. You know, it wasn't like, oh, good, I have someone to guide me through this program. I'm like, no, the reality was like, oh, my God, I have somebody that actually likes me, because clearly that wasn't happening before, right? And so for him to let me know that I was going to be, he was going to be my temporary sponsor, I felt part of something. Right. And it gave me excitement and it gave me hope. Right. And luckily for him, because that allowed me to get, you know, meeting, you know, he'd be like, I'll pick you up. Right. We'll go to a meeting and we'd have a bunch of people in the car. And I started to feel part of a group and, you know, life. And honestly, even putting down the drink and getting sober for the first time, you know, the bad shit stopped happening. But my life didn't quite improve. Right. I still had to get up in the morning and go to the same job. Had the same parents, had the same neighbors, lived in the same neighborhood. Everything was the same, just I wasn't a pain in the ass. And I think right away I was like, you know, let's pick up where we left off, right? And so back to school, and I remember my sponsor's like, you know, I don't recommend this. And I was like, well, I'm doing it. And, you know, but I wanted life to get good, and life did get good. The problem is, and like it says in there, you know, I started to forget. You know, I was good when I first got sober. I was surrounded by a lot of people. I was in a small town. We went to a lot of meetings, a meeting every day, sometimes twice a day. We had a men's group. We would take meetings into the halfway houses and into the recovery facilities. We used to take meetings into jail. That was fucking sketchy. I did not like that. I'm like, these guys don't care. They don't give a shit that we're here. And my sponsor's like, we don't do this for them. We do this for us. You know, this is what we need to do to stay sober. Share the message. Pass on the message. Be there for the next alcoholic, whether they like it or not. And so that was a great lesson to learn. But, you know, really into it. And, you know, moving over to another town and just things changed, right? And start to expose, you know, the real motivation for me getting sober, which was to just, I just went with it and it seemed better than what I was doing and not quite understanding. And it would slowly start to erode, you know, not picking up the meetings, start, you know, finding reasons to not go to meetings instead of reasons to go to meetings. I wasn't meeting the cool people I was meeting over in the other town, and I wasn't feeling as part of, and, you know, it was just a series of things. And then the next thing you know, man, out the door I went, and it wasn't hard for me to pick that damn drink up again. You know, and obviously the struggles and the ups and downs, and then finally getting back into the program, and you know, today, man, I live a absolutely wonderful life. You know, I have a freaking wonderful life, and it's all due to the steps of this program and the program itself, and it's just such a blessing. But, you know, I've been down this road before, and I have to keep reminding myself, you know, this is the danger zone. This is when I have to keep reminding myself. You know, that's why I've said early on, you know, I'm committed to 3 meetings a week. Because, and, you know, luckily it's not that bad because I do still enjoy going to meetings. It gives me a break, gives me a time to sort of get centered, check in. I do not hate going to meetings, but I have to remind myself, you know, there will be a time where meetings won't be as great, and whatever it is, this wonderful life that I've acquired, you know, due to being sober and in recovery, will start to seem like a better choice. And, you know, that's very dangerous. So that's why I just have this rule, 3 meetings a week, period. And it's been great. So, but, you know, it's, I see it a lot, you know, it's, and it's hard to explain to people, you know, especially when, you know, people have struggled and then they do come into a program and they do start getting better, right? And, you know, the family members start to come back, the employees or, you know, your coworkers start to come back. And it's real easy to start forgetting, you know, that we are in a program for life. This medicine that will heal us from this deadly disease needs to be taken every day. And we cannot forget that because it's a disease that wants us to forget. And I think that is one of the toughest parts about being sober and getting into recovery, because we forget. But it's been, you know, one of the cool things about my, you know, my in-laws is that one of their children passed away from drugs. And, you know, that's a it's sad. And I think they appreciate the fact that I am in recovery. It's just a wonderful gift. And the other thing is this time or this portion or this point in my recovery is that, you know, I have to stop being here out of the fear of drinking, right? Because I haven't had a drink. Oh, you know, I want to give a shout out to my brother. My brother's celebrating 7 years on the 7th. I think on the 7th of this month. I was trying to find a coin for him. I thought I had, I must have never picked up a 7-year coin because I cannot find one. But I wanted to pass that on to him, but I couldn't find it. But congratulations to him. Super proud of my brother. You know, he has a great story. Just the fact of, you know, his struggle was a lot worse than mine. He went from sober to back out to sober to back out. And when he would go back out, it would be big time. And cops, and he's had a hell of a journey. And unfortunately, you know, like I shared, you know, my dad had to toss him out finally. My dad's like, I can't do that. He'll die. And I go, he's not going to die. I can't do that. He's an idiot. I go, he's not an idiot. He's probably one of the smartest people I know. And it's funny because most addicts are freaking really smart, very, very conniving. They can manipulate better than the rest of us. And my brother was good at that, just like I was good at that, just like most of us are good at it. You know, I manipulated my way through life 1 week at a time, right? One job interview at a time, one possible, you know, job after one possible job. And it gets exhausting. And, you know, I was like, Dad, you got to let him go. He's like, I can't. He's an idiot. I go, he's the smartest guy I know, right? He has no sense. And finally my dad tossed him out. And, you know, my brother got sober, runs a recovery house. And he's got, I was talking to him this morning. I called him on my walk. And, you know, when he came into recovery, there was a guy, Johnny. Let's keep it as one name. And he ran a recovery house, and he brought my brother in and worked with my brother and went to meetings with my brother and helped get him to a place. And sort of my brother became, I think Johnny ran the house at that time and sort of made my brother his assistant in the house, and they did it together. And you know, all of a sudden, you know, life was good, right? Life was good. And all of a sudden, Johnny had some problems and started to struggle. And then, you know, one day Johnny was gone. And unfortunately, Johnny went back out. And, you know, today, well, my dad told me, I talked to my dad yesterday, and he said, yeah, I talked to your brother. He said, old Johnny's back. Johnny's back in the house. And, you know, he sort of came around full circle. And he's like, tell your brother, you know, make sure he continues to do what he's doing. Don't get wrapped up with Johnny. And I'm like, okay. And then I talked to my brother, and I sort of passed that message. He's like, no, Johnny's doing great. It's great to have Johnny back. And, you know, Johnny went out and, you know, got in trouble and did a stint, right, some time in Rikers. I guess he wanted to move to New York, and unfortunately that didn't work out. And so Johnny's back, and Johnny's back in the house, and my brother's happy that Johnny's back. And, you know, that is the one thing about recovery, man. People come in and out. I mean, as a person that consistently goes to the same meetings every week, I see a lot of faces, and people will come in and they'll start to feel better, and then they disappear. And then they come back and they're like, you're still here. And I'm like, I'm still here, right? I'm going to still be here. And, you know, and then people will come in and they're all gung-ho, and then they go back out. And there's a lady that I know who was really struggling, and she finally disappeared. And you could tell she was struggling. She would come to the meetings, but you could tell it was iffy. And she disappeared and then finally came back, and her attitude completely changed. She goes, you know, I just want to tell the group that I drank. I'm a mess. I need your help, and I want to be part of this group. And has just, you can see people change, but, you know, we get jobs back, we start to, you know, be accepted, and we forget, right? The wolves keep us, the wolves are just constantly circling, and you never know when they're going to pounce, and, but she's back. And so, once again, you know, I see so many people, and congratulations to Johnny for coming back. And, but it's funny, because now my brother runs the house, and, you know, I've heard many stories of people that come in, they get a sponsor, and then their sponsor goes back out. And then over time, they end up being the sponsor to the original sponsor that was sponsoring them. So, man, you just never know what it's going to take, what the path is, who we're going to meet, how it's going to work out. But, you know, nothing is written in stone. And thank God, right? All right, let me see if I can read the Daily Reflection. So that was a good, so how to stay sober when life is good, not just bad. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff. ChatGPT, it's pretty cool. All right, let's see. Daily Reflections. All right, entirely honest, May 4th. We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long and happily in this world, right? Fifth step. Was it RFK Jr. said, there should be somebody on this planet that knows your whole story. Somebody, you should definitely sit down with another human and tell everybody everything about yourself at least once. And yeah, and that's true, right? Rigorously honest. That is the true. I mean, that, you know, it's easy to be honest with the public stuff. It's the private stuff, I think, it's the hard part. All right. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 73 to 74. Honesty, like all virtues, is to be shared. It began after I shared my whole life story with someone. In order to find my place in the fellowship, later I shared my life in order to help the newcomer find his place with us. This sharing helps me learn honesty in all my dealings and to know that God's plan for me comes through honest openness and willingness. Yeah, hope, right? Hearing other people's experience without comment. I always like that. But yeah, man, it is, you know, but you know, we don't like the war stories. We don't want to sit around and brag about how bad we were, right? We just need to be honest so we both know. You know, what is it, the ninth step? I don't know, one of the steps where we, you know, make a list of all the people that we had harmed. You know, one, my friend Gary always says, you know, it's nice to know what we're capable of, right? We don't behave that way today, but there have been times, and we are capable of it, and it's good to remember, you know, exactly what we're capable of if, right, the right situations happen. All right. Well, hey, thanks for letting me share. Have a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
To the rest of the evening and into tomorrow. We appreciate you guys being here tonight.